Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hello, Lara, and all the sexy, unique people that listen to the Sexy Unique podcast. I'm James Kennedy from Vanderpump Rules, if you haven't noticed. And yeah, I'd love for you guys to come in and see me next Tuesday. My next party is actually tonight at Sir, so come through, and we'll have old Jaxi Boy make us a pump tea.
Wow, wow, wow. Before we get started, I want to take a moment to say a huge thank you to all my sweet, beautiful 778 patrons, and the Sexy Unique fan, Kristen Gray, who got James Kennedy to record that incredible cameo for me and the Sexy Unique podcast. You guys are everything to me. Your support makes this podcast possible. Your feedback helps me develop other podcasts, and I can't express my gratitude enough. It blows my mind every day that a new person signs up. And I say this all the time, but I truly did not know or think that I could get this many patrons. And then every day there's new people that join and pledge to support the podcast. And it's just like a gift every single day. So thank you guys so much. Your pledges not only make this podcast possible, but they also give me the resources I need to brainstorm new podcast ideas and produce new podcast ideas. And without you guys, I would not be able to have the sort of creative output that I've had over the past few months. So the support goes above and beyond even what you see on the Patreon, and extends into all areas of this creative space for me. So you guys are fucking awesome. I love each and every one of you. And if you want to get involved and help support this podcast, you can do so by visiting www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And it is there on that website that you will find all the information you need to become a supporter. There are a lot of perks that come with being a patron of Sexy Unique Podcast, and I will tell you what some of those are right now. For as little as $1 an episode, you will be in, meaning you will get a weekly bonus episode that I record with my guests week to week. You will also get exclusive glimpses and sneak previews of other podcast projects that I'm starting and doing, and have an opportunity to kind of be in on the ground floor of like conceptualizing those and hearing them before the world gets to hear them. So that's exciting. And for as little as $2 an episode, you get all those perks plus access to a ranking system I created for Vanderpump Rules called the Vanderpump Rules Hierarchy of Darkness, where I attempt to categorize the darkness levels of every single person, place, thing that happens in the Vanderpump universe. There are a variety of other levels that you can sign up to become a patron on, but I just wanted to give you a little taste of what you can get as a patron of this podcast. So give it a gander. It's worth a look. www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast for more details. And now, without further ado, I give to you this week's episode of SUP. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules. Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you. And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall. Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you kicks up. Love it with the beat, here we go so in. And we go with a friend, you be both win. Hotel chilling, yeah. Welcome to this week's episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I am your host, Lara Marie Shane Halls, and today's guest is someone who's a friend of the pod. She's been here before, and now she's gracing us all with her presence again. Yes. It's Chrissy Milazzo.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm here. I have a lot to say.
We have so much to talk about. I feel like in the hour like leading up to the recording of this podcast, yeah, my world changed when I found out that a fan of the podcast got James Kennedy to do a shout out Cameo. And then also you had a transformative experience this past weekend, yes, because you went to Coachella,
yes,
and interacted with many of the servers.
Yes. So
tell all.
I went to Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
Not something I'm proud of.
Yeah.
But something that happened to me. And I went with Brandon, the person that I have sex with, and he was there for the music. and the parties, and I think we were at St. Vincent, and so like we had the wristbands that are like guest of an artist band, which means that you're like a bottom feeder, but of you're an elite bottom feeder, you know,
so you get in like all the artist areas,
yeah, but you can't
go in their trailers,
right? Yeah, no, you can't like touch them. Okay. But like there are walled off areas for like real artists and real production, and like you can't like go backstage and stuff, but there's like an upfront viewing area that's at every stage. You get to like ride the golf carts. You basically just get to be an entitled asshole without having to actually have done anything.
The hierarchy of Coachella wristbands is now that you shouldn't even fuck with Coachella if you're not in an artist pass.
Well, when James
even
posted,
the VIP James was GA.
James not only posted, I mean, yeah, I remember this because active member of the Facebook group, mm-hmm, here, but like, someone posted a screenshot of James posting his wristband, and he posted like the last digits of his credit card number, like his address, like, because he just posted like the receipt like months ago and was like, Coachella, mate. Like, I don't know why I made him sound Australian, but I'm trying to master the way he says like Coachella.
Like Coachella.
It's like a very specific, like, I'm gonna play Coachella, mate.
Yeah. Like, James also, I like respect the fact that he was there as GA because he truly is just there for the music. You know what I mean? Like, he's like a musician and wants to be in the mix.
But also, how the fuck do you not even have anyone in your life, like an agent, a manager, a friend of a friend of a friend? Like, even if you've like I have zero relationship to music. I have zero relationship to like I just have access to a boyfriend who has access to things, mm-hmm, and I'm honest about that. Why can't he leech off of someone? how is it possible that does he want to be GA?
I think that he might want it. And also maybe he's not trying to like rest on his connections. Like maybe he's there just
saving
like,
them, yeah.
Yeah.
He's saving them for the professional.
Yeah.
For him and Lala's album.
For his debut Coachella. Right. So that next year when he's at Coachella, he can be like from GA to performer Coachella.
Oh my God. I need his like, have you ever listened to like, I mean, I guess like every rap album sort of like from a certain time has the intro song where they talk about like the beginning of their life and sort of their origin story, how hard everything was, whatever. And mm-hmm. James's would be like from GA, like you said, and like,
it's like from GA to the main stage,
from getting my legs broken in middle school to
getting squeezed to my main squeeze, Raquel, shout out. He would not be on the main stage though. He'd be like on the tiny side.
He'd be in like the Doolab or like the Heineken house or like,
no,
I mean, probably just a satellite party.
I need him to be at Sahara. I said on Twitter like a year ago, the only way I'll ever go back to Coachella is if James is performing. And so I'm at once like excited and I want for him so badly to perform at Coachella, but I also kind of don't, because I don't want to have to go back to Coachella and like make good on that.
He's got to pick a lane. Like when Kara was on your podcast, Kara Brown, huge fan, when she was saying that he needs to decide like rapper or DJ, and like definitely DJ, like he needs to do that.
He could do both.
No.
I'm going to say that he could do both, actually.
I mean, I guess like worse things have happened and worse people have been at Coachella.
I wonder,
worse acts, I mean. He's a great person.
I wonder if I could get an artist pass or a guest of an artist pass if James goes to Coachella.
I would say no.
Yeah.
Like, I think he'd probably have a lot of people, aka just like Lala and anyone else.
Lala that she and would her want. Squad.
Yeah, like he would just be like throwing wristbands on Lala's naked body.
Yeah. Like,
but anyways.
Okay, anyways. Yes. So
James was GA.
James was GA, but James went weekend one, like a
which is
true
like the weekend.
Which is like the weekend. Yeah. And then
I went on the social climber weekend.
The Witches of WeHo.
The climber weekend.
But I thought all the parties happened weekend one.
They do, but like if you're someone who couldn't get one of those prime spots for an artist or whoever would get you that wristband, like then you circle back.
You circle
and you're
back.
Like, hey, I know we're not really friends.
Yeah.
But I know that no one's going to weekend two.
Yeah. So like,
so me and my girlfriend, like, please. And so that's how we got our wristbands.
Love.
And the shocking part was that, and also I think that James and like Ariana and Tom Sandoval are all of that group who like legitimately do love festivals. I guess they all kind of are. But I think they got upgraded to VIP. Maybe, I don't know, who cares. But like when I was there, I was kind of shocked to see Kristen, Carter, Katie, Schwartz, Stassi, Stassi's boyfriend.
Bo.
Yes, Bo. Sorry, not to be disrespectful.
His name is Bo, thank you.
Not to be rude. And then I don't know who else. I think that was it in terms of like the cast. But yeah, like I was shocked to see them in like the guest of an artist section because I was like, oh, how? But then I thought about it and I was like the same way as me.
Yeah.
By just like being an ass kisser. So anyways, we were watching.
Well, music kills Kate.
Music does kill Kate.
So it makes sense that she'd be
there
front and center.
And she's okay. I mean,
does she like watch music and think to herself like, God, this kills me.
I can confirm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I witnessed.
You're like, hey, this is killing you. And she's like, hell yeah.
Kate.
What did you see?
So
you saw them multiple days in a row?
Yes.
Okay.
So the first time I saw them was Friday for St. Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm now a St. Vincent fan, but before I just knew a couple of her songs and Brandon really wanted to see her. And so we go and he's like, she's amazing. Oh my God. And out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, oh, I see Kristen. And I was like, oh my God. And I like grabbed him and he was like, what? I know she's so good. Like about St. Vincent. And then I was like, no.
You're like no, Dodie.
And he was like, please stop. Like, please, I need you to like get a hold of yourself. And I was like, please let me be here for the reasons that I'm here.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like, you know, like looked at them and was like creepy, but I wasn't going to like say anything.
No, that's not the right
time. I was never going to say anything, but then.
Yeah. Mid concert, you cannot make like a move on someone.
No.
But
they were super into it. Like they were singing all the words, like. Music was absolutely killing Kate.
Wow, they're St. Vincent heads.
Confirm.
Did Stassi know the words?
I never really noticed like what she was doing or what was going on, because I was like so focused on Kristen. And then I think like Katie was closer to her. I'm getting into the nitty gritty of like the real drama, but like I was shocked by how they all look in person, and I always am, like, that they're good looking.
Yeah, they're
because they're the show beautiful. Is really unflattering for them. And like Schwartz is tall. I remember having a conversation with you where I was like, how could you possibly ever think that Schwartz is attractive? And you were like, I mean, he is. I was like,
they're categorically all very hot.
He's so tall. I don't understand how that is like not made clear on the show. Because doesn't Katie look the same size as him on the show?
They look the same height. Look like
she's small.
Yeah, she's shorter than him. I mean, they're all like stunning IRL. Yeah. That's when you realize that you're the one that's being trolled, because you think you see them on TV and you're like, good God. And then you see them in real life and you're like, oh my God, I'd fuck all of you.
Yeah, exactly. Every last one of you. Carter.
I'm like, here, there's a fence. I'll just go lean up against it. And one by one, come and rail me.
Pretty much. Yeah, I want them to run train on me. Like, not an orgy, just me.
No, one by one. Not an orgy. Yeah.
So I'm thinking about that and watching St. Vincent and on, like, whatever drugs.
And Katie's being killed by the music.
Katie's being killed. The music is killing Kate. And then, you know, like, I lost them. And then I had to go see, oh, I don't know, whatever artist was on that night on the main stage, who knows. And then the next day we went to see David Byrne, and we got to the festival, and again, like, I'm just outing myself as like having no taste, but like I'm not super into David Byrne, like whatever. But we get to that section and then Kendall Jenner walks by and Brandon's like, oh my God, Kendall Jenner. And I was like, oh my God, cool, nice, sweet, awesome. And I'm kind of just like looking around like who else is here. And then I saw them all again. And then I like grabbed him and I was like, it's happening again. And he was like, stop. Like, it's not even.
Brandon was on this podcast. Why does he not care?
He obviously has never watched the show. Like, even though he's watched it with me many times. I'm offended.
And now I have beef with Brandon.
Yeah. I mean, you should.
Feel free to tell him.
Right. At Brandon Wardell.
At Brandon Wardell.
On Twitter. Please let him know.
Please let Brandon know that there's beef now. We're in a war.
Holding us back.
We're in a war.
Holding me back. But no, I mean, he ended up being supportive.
Okay, good. I like to hear that,
which I obviously needed at that time. So they're watching David Byrne, music is killing Kate again. I'm like, they're all standing like behind Kendall Jenner. So
on a scale of 1 to dead, where was Katie being, what was her killage?
Okay, I think for St. Vincent the killage was like a 9.
Okay,
but then I think for this, based on the events that happened afterwards that I will get into, I think it was like a 6. Okay, I think she was a little taken out of it. So they're
once
all
you've
standing,
been killed, yeah, it's hard to resuscitate so that you can be killed again.
It was more like music kills Kristen.
Okay,
Kristen was like vibing so hard,
so Kristen was like being more killed by David Byrne than St. Vincent.
It was music kills Kristen, which is fair because Kristen is the musical center of the show.
An LA lady, blue jean baby. Yeah.
I mean, why don't we have more? Didn't she post like a selfie with a producer and was like,
Kristen, she's like all over the music scene.
It's crazy how she's gotten every single person on that show into music. Yeah. And has not herself put out. Like, that's what makes me think that Kristen's music is amazing. Yeah. I mean, I know that it's amazing. Like, based on the t-shirt line alone, I'm hanging
Remember
on
her
by a
singing
thread.
Voice?
No. What?
She had, like, a shockingly angelic singing voice in the Pitch Perfect 3 promo.
Oh, right.
That I was like,
yes.
Kristen's music kills Lara because I'd never been so happy to hear my
Kristen
queen.
Kristen kills Lara, my
queen angel.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm a Kristen stan, and so like I'm pushing for the music, but I do think that it would legitimately be good.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm delusional anyways.
So
they're all standing behind Kendall Jenner, which gives me a nice way of like looking as if I'm looking at like a real celebrity, but really I'm like staring at them.
Yeah.
And I forget like what, I think I was probably just like high and drunk. And so like just a regular amount of whatever. And then we start to leave that viewing area. Mm-hmm. And then Brandon sees Post Malone. And now I'm really getting into some embarrassing shit. As if anyone might think that I'm not already there, it's coming. So Brandon sees Post Malone and they follow each other. and they've had like a DM history. And so he's like, I should go say hi.
Yeah.
And I was like, his security is going to think you're like a rando. And he's like, yeah, but he'll recognize me. And I'm like, great. Like, I'm going to sit this one out. So I walk to like the side to observe that. And then I see Kristen and Stassi clearly arguing mm-hmm. in a corner. And I'm like exhilarated, thrilling. Obviously. Yeah, like I'm turned on, like I'm immediately like basement flooded. And so I'm just watching them argue. And I was like, is this the moment? And then I look and Brandon's like, you know, flirting with Post Malone. And so I'm like, okay, if that's who I'm dating, then yeah. like I can do whatever yeah, I want. And it won't be.
It's all good.
There's no shame.
No.
So I approach and I go up to
Kristen. Mid-fight?
It was like.
They were taking a break.
I was kind of circling and I think they knew. They're like, what? Like, I think they knew what yeah. was going on. I think they knew what was going to happen. And Stassi was like, it was less that they were fighting and more that Kristen was trying to calm Stassi down, like a classic. Mm-hmm. And Kristen is, again, I just want to reiterate, like so beautiful in real yeah. life. And as is Stassi, but Kristen is like tall and thin and like.
Tall, thin, perfect breasts.
Perfect.
She's like very well proportioned.
Everything.
Stunning. And with like a really good, like she also yeah. has like a lesbian energy yes. to her that's like yes. visceral.
It's like, it was just mesmerizing.
Yeah.
And I've seen her in person before, but this was like, I mean, obviously I was high and
this is her in her element.
So, yeah. yeah. So I'm like, and I just like needed to take advantage. So I go up. And I'm like, hi, guys, sorry to interrupt, but I'm just, like, a huge fan. And Stassi's kind of like, hi, oh, thanks. And then continues to, like, yell at someone on the phone. And then I was like, I just love you on this season, Kristen, even though, like, you're not really on the season. I just, like, love it, and I need more of you. And she was like, I know, right? And I was like, oh, we get each other. Like, okay, so we're dating.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening.
You're together
And
now.
Then I was like, would you mind if we just, like, got a selfie? And then she's like, no, of course, and looks at Stassi. And I was like,
no.
Like, I was like, no, no.
Better
no, no.
if she's not.
And then Kristen had this like look in her eyes of like, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, it is my moment. And I was like, yes. And then we take the photo and I was like, you're so beautiful. And it's like, I'm just pulling for more Kristen time this season. And she was like, I know, right? Fuck them. And I was like, yes. And then I leave them. And then I hear like Stassi snap at Kristen and I'm kind of just like hearing it behind me and I'm like, oh, whatever. I go get Brandon and Brandon starts telling me about Post Malone and how like they're dating and then we're walking away. And as I'm turning to Brandon to say like how crazy that interaction was of just like how hot Kristen is, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, they're so beautiful in her life. This guy just runs into me and I was almost completely on the ground.
No.
And I turn, yeah, this guy like barrels the fuck into me. It's this drunk dude. And I was high and drunk, and so I was like, I'm going to kill this person. So I stand up to yell at them. Not stand up, but I was, like, knocked. So I, like, get my bearings, and I turn to yell, and it's Tom Schwartz. And I was like, oh, like, I love your work. I didn't have a reaction besides just, like, yes. Like,
oh, my God.
And as he's, like, pivoting to, like, not run into Brandon, I see Stassi, like, standing against the fence and just looking like I'm doing a shocked face. For the viewers at home, she's like looking at him in shock. And then he turns to her and he's like, fuck off. You're nothing. You're nothing. And then like stumbled away into the crowd. And I was like, it was like the world opened up.
My God.
Over me. And I know this is a long story to get there and hopefully you'll edit it appropriately. But yeah, it was just like to constantly be advocating for this program mm-hmm. and its merits and to be explaining to people like you don't understand like, this is how they are. They are this messy and like they would be like this anyway. And everyone's like, no, reality TV is fake. And then to have it literally like knocked into me and yeah. just like completely vindicated, I was just, nothing could have been better.
It's life affirming.
Unless I was on Molly for that exact experience.
Yeah.
Like it was so good. And I don't know like how they resolved things because of course like afterwards I looked at like Stassi's Instagram and it's like everything's all cool. And I was like, oh yes, I love this.
That's
so
like
much.
A rant. That's like a Tuesday like, night yeah, for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's like her like Tom getting blammo wasted and right. like verbally abusing someone. They're yes. like anyway.
Especially
next.
Stassi. And I think we've heard him say on the show to Sheena, like fuck off, you're nothing. So yeah. like obviously like
it's his go to burn.
It was so great. And again, Schwartz, tall.
Yeah.
Like, shocked by that. But yeah. yeah, he... Oh, and also, I mean, this goes without saying, but he did not apologize for barreling into me
at all. Of course
not. Like, just screamed at Stassi and kept walking. And I was like, thank you.
Did you see Katie's hair at Coachella?
Yes.
The braids?
Oh, no, not that day. Oh, that was okay. Sunday, and I left on Sunday morning because I could no longer.
You couldn't Coachella anymore.
I peaked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It was not...
You have to end on a high note.
I would have had to sleep with Kristen for it to get any better.
Yeah.
Or, like, personally have gotten into a fight with one of the cast members.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, I mean... I had the best experience that I could possibly. And I wouldn't stop talking about it for the rest of the night. And like no one was entertaining it at all. Cause like no one was really like a Vanderpump Rules viewer, but I just wouldn't stop saying it. And that felt like my Coachella set.
Yeah.
Like it felt like I played Coachella. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Well, I'm jealous that you had those interactions. Cause it
you
sounds-
should be.
It sounds blissful, quite frankly. Yeah,
that was, I mean, you've had all of your interactions with the cast.
But I've had really a variety of them, but this one is like them and their special element, like at something that's not like a Vanderpump
no cameras
event.
Yes.
It's no cameras. Like I haven't really seen them out in the wild in like that's a place that's not necessarily their turf.
Right. I've only seen them be normal. Or like do like lightly weird things when I've like seen them out at events or whatever, but never something so like spot on and
like out in the wild,
gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's get into this episode because I have like 25 pages of notes that we have to cover.
I have 7.
This episode was called Lost Cause, which I really like. They've given up naming the episode.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, like we get it, we get it. It starts with Brittany screaming at Jax and running out of their apartment and getting into a sad Uber X, which is something that never gets old to me.
I love it so much.
Brittany's sad Ubers.
I feel like they only all live in apartments where they can look over the street as well. Mm-hmm. Like they've never not lived in like the front second floor.
Yeah.
So they have a perfect view of when someone's leaving them.
I love the street. Like I love that Jax doesn't even chase her. He's just like, hey, wait. And she's like, no. And then just like slams the door.
I mean, probably because the producers were like, we need you to like go look over the balcony. And he was like, yeah, I'm on my way. Like, I know I should feel something right now. Like, I will parrot the feeling.
He can't, like, muster it up. And then, like, right after she leaves, he's like, oh, man. And then just goes and eats, like, an old piece of pizza.
Nothing has been sadder. It fucking killed me when, I think it was last episode, he just drank out of the milk.
Yeah, he just drank
in the fridge.
Milk.
I know that's not... shouldn't surprise me, but fuck, man.
But he's just like puttering around. Like he literally walked away from the balcony and my first thought was he's gonna go get some weird food out of the fridge. And sure enough, that's exactly what he did.
I thought you were gonna say my first thought was he was gonna jump off the balcony, but that would be like less sad.
No, would actually be like proactive and make sense. And then instead
at least
he's
he'd get
like,
help.
Shrug pizza. And so he does that. And then he walks down the hall to Tom and Katie's apartment, and those halls never fail to chill me to my core. That apartment building, like,
I'm so confused. I mean, I could go on. You should honestly do a bonus pod that's just on the architecture of Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. It's kind of all very similar.
Yeah.
They love like a boxy, like tight space.
Yeah. They've never lived in an apartment where you could just enter any other way besides like a tight corridor.
Yeah.
Or a sad elevator.
Yeah.
Or
like
stairwell.
A scary elevator.
They need a stairwell. Do you think it's because of the alley?
I think they're drawn to alley-like things because they've logged so much time. It, like, feels comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that's their element.
So, like, when Tom and Ariana went and looked at that house that was, like, an alley that was just, like, turned into a home, that makes a lot of sense. But we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So, Jax goes into Tom and Katie's apartment, and Tom Schwartz is there, and he's now, like... very nervous on camera. Have you noticed this? Or is it just me noticing this?
I want to say that I feel like it's a forever mood. Like, I honestly fully think that, and I know this, again, not shocking, but I feel like he's just an alcoholic and those are, like, the shakes.
Yeah.
Like, any daytime scene, he's usually like, and then, like, at night, he's more like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that, you're probably right. Like, but I feel like it was very prevalent in this episode.
Yeah.
He has, like, these nervous, like, where he can't talk really and, like, makes all these facial expressions and is kind of, like, muttering to himself.
It's
and I'm
hot.
Just like, good Lord. And so Jax is like recapping his morning and he's like, well, I broke up with Brittany, and he's like, we had a great morning. It was a really great morning.
Like it happened to him. Like he was like, that's my favorite part about Jax is acting like things that he had complete control over happened.
Yeah.
Like he was like, what sucked about this? Like he's like, what was so bad about the way that it went was that we had sex. Sex was had.
Yeah.
Twice. And then this had to happen.
Yeah. He's like, and it's just, it's too bad because it was such a good, such a great morning. I'm like, what are you talking about?
And sucks then, I had to be like that. Yeah. There was no other time. I mean.
So he fucked Brittany. He's like.
Last night, knowing that he was going to break up with her.
The night before. I thought they did it that day.
No, it was twice.
It was like, twice
so
the night
So he said
before.
To them, he was like, we had sex the night before. No, it was the night before and the morning.
And in the morning.
And he was including both of those in this, like, breakup through line. Because you can imagine Jax being like
the
wants to break up
started,
with her. They have sex.
Right, when they had sex the first time.
Yeah.
And then ended when she left the apartment.
Yeah, and they had sex twice in that span of whatever. I feel like I'm on Serial and trying to piece together his hours. But yeah, that's how it happened. And I think he mentioned at some point
she initiated it. He's like, well, she initiated it. Sometimes you just gotta get off, you know what I'm saying? And everyone's like horrified. Like he reveals himself to be more and more monstrous with every passing minute, but then it also just becomes comedy because it's like what am I gonna do with this info?
No, it's full. It's the funniest thing.
And like him admitting it to people, it's like not even like he's like, oh, so mischievous. Like he just admits these like horrific things to people that then just like stare blankly at him. And then he like tries to crack a joke like a comedian and it goes nowhere. And it's like,
yeah,
it's you can't write scenes this good.
No, exactly. Like if you were to write Jax as a character on a show and his like character game getting real writerly in Los Angeles here, but like it would be just like it would be nonsensical because people would be like, oh, that's like way too on the nose, because his like character game would be like self-destructive
bad boy
it.
Yeah, loves like, it, never gonna
but it's
change
not good.
Not good, but also like a victim of his own decision, so right. Like he keeps being like, he's like, I'm so bad at relationship. I'm so bad. And it's like,
his use of the passive voice is amazing.
Yeah.
And in terms of what has happened versus like what, you know, she did want to have sex with me and I did facilitate the sex.
Yeah.
and I was just there.
Oh, the best too is when he's like, oh, then she left. She dropped a couple F-bombs and then left. It's like, what? Like he's kind of offended that she cussed so much, and
I tried to be, I tried to do it in the least douchey way possible after just having said
after
that he fucked
her
twice. He's like, I did
and
try to
being
be
like,
respectful.
I love you, and then like,
oh yeah,
and then coming back in, and now right. I get why Brittany flipped the fuck out on him, because at first I was like, okay, like bitch, get it together,
yeah.
Like you know why this is happening, right. But now that we've like contextualized the whole situation, I guess more team Brittany.
Well, because you know that she was doing like foot stuff and shit like that. Like, you know that they didn't have like loving,
she's like
passionate,
hey,
look you in the eyes sex.
I wore my shoes without socks again. Like, that's probably how she initiated that sex. And he's like, let me smell it.
Yeah.
So they had like fetish sex, which always makes you feel close to the person that you're having like weird fetish sex with.
Because you're like, I could never even tell another person about what just happened.
Yeah. And you're like, God, this is so us and like our experience.
It's very
and
unique.
It's intimate. But the lie is it's not intimate.
Yeah, no,
when you're
Jax
fucking a psycho who likes weird shit in the bedroom, he's going to fuck you and then break right up with you. And then he's like, out of all the mornings, it was a great And he said he's been feeling this way for a year.
Yeah.
Which was shocking to me.
Was it?
I mean, I was just like,
What do you mean? What were you shocked by?
Well, I was just like, for him to say that on the show felt like shocking.
I
knowing
feel like
that
he
they're
said
together.
That so many times.
Really? Maybe I choose not to.
Well, because he just says stuff like, she lost her spark. She, like, she did this, she did that. We've been this way. We've been fighting. And then the beginning of the season was just like the denial where he was like, off to a good start in the confessional, obviously, because they were like, all right, time to build this storyline, Jax.
Yeah.
Strong start.
Yeah. And he actually, by the end of his conversation with Katie and Tom, is like making sense. Like,
yeah.
He's saying all the sound bites that like fit for what he's supposed to be doing, like delivering the lines well and whatever.
But you know, he believes zero of it.
No, he's just repeating what Kelsey, the Reiki master, told him to say.
And I love how he keeps being, I mean, it's classic, but the way he keeps being like, I had to do it for her because I want her to be happy.
She deserves to be happy. She deserves someone who can give her everything. And it's like, no, you actually don't believe that at all.
Like, I mean, if you believed that, you wouldn't be like, what would make this girl happy? Probably having like sweaty fetish sex with her twice and then delivering the breakup as soon as we can get ourselves together for the cameras.
Boning her, going out to get a cup of coffee. Coming back, not bringing a coffee back for her, and then breaking up with her. Lisa gives Lala some of the most heinous boots I've ever seen.
What the fuck was that?
They're the epitome of what are those?
A homegirl can get it. Like, if homegirl comes through in these, she's getting a record deal.
Wait, but like, Lala, like, it's a testament to how hot Lala is because she didn't look, the boots didn't take her down a notch.
But I mean, because you've never seen her wear anything else of a different caliber.
Yeah. And also it's like she just wore, she wore enough to like draw your eye up away from the hideous boots, meaning she just wore nothing, like a swimsuit with a cape. So,
well, she loves like a thigh high lace up.
Yeah.
So but, like, they were thoughtful. But also very ugly.
But also like sinful, like in a bad way.
I feel like she probably picked them out though. You don't feel that way? I'm very suspect of this episode's, I have a lot of things to say about things that I thought were fake in the episode, which I know is like a lot of this is fake, but this one felt particularly like, oh, come on. Like, I feel like Lala would not wear a pair of boots for her showcase that she didn't have some sort of control over. I'm a truther.
Yeah, you're a boot truther.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe Lisa has like a designer friend who gives her these kinds of boots for free or something. And then she just like, because I'm
where
like,
might
did
Lisa encounter those boots?
Like, did she said she was walking along the street, which is like, no.
She's never walked along the street ever.
And they caught her eye in a store. And I'm like, what part of town were you in? Also, how much did these boots cost? Like, were they like Aldo, like $69.99? I don't think that they were, she presented them as though they were like $2,500.
That's what makes me feel, which I'm like, pretty confident in the fact that Lala was like, I love these boots. And then like,
and
the
then
producers
called,
were like,
they called the store and they were like, boots. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe her reaction would have been different. I don't know.
Lala's scared, but Lisa reassures her. And then she goes, I can't be there. I have prior commitments.
A meeting in Vegas, right?
Yeah, she has to go to Vegas, so she can't come to the showcase.
Most people in LA have to go to a business meeting in Vegas every weekend.
Lisa has so
we all do that.
So much business in Vegas.
The true mark of an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Tom and Ariana are in their apartment with Billy Lee and Jeremy. And at this point, their apartment is actually, it like hurts me to have to be, see any scenes be filmed in there.
Yes.
Like, and it hurts me more to know that they've like tried to zhuzh it and like put like a facelift on it and make it like a livable area, but it's still, it's like beyond, it cannot be zhuzhed.
Why
like,
not move?
I
why
don't,
never, I mean,
it
rent
must
control.
Cost $40 a month, which is about $30.
The landlord probably like pays them to live there for like advertising or something. Cause didn't you think, I mean, that's not true, but like, remember when you thought that another apartment was there? Can we not talk about that?
Oh my God. Yeah. When I thought, okay, so I thought I saw an apartment on this like LA website, therentalgirl.com.
Right. Very familiar.
And I swore to God, I was like, oh my God, it's fucking Tom and Ariana's apartment. And I looked through.
You sent it to me and you were like, isn't this Tom and Ariana's apartment?
I sent it to a lot of people. I posted it like on social media. I was like, oh my God, look who it is. And like, it was like what shocked me was I thought I recognized it from like the exterior picture, mm-hmm. but then the inside, it was like the apartment had been gutted and completely right. remodeled and actually like yeah. semi-chic. And I was like, oh my God, they must have moved out. They bought a house. Like, look what their apartment is now. Like, who's going to live there? Don't make me be the one. And like, and then everyone was like, that's not their apartment.
Yeah. So maybe that sort of brand awareness. Maybe they have a deal or something. There's no good explanation for why any of these people live in the apartments that they live in.
No.
Because even if they were making fucking reality TV pennies on the show, that would still be enough to not live in those apartments.
Yeah.
I think they just have to live in the most tasteless, expensive apartments. Like, they're the kind of people that like just looked and were like, this one looks good. I will now arrange my lifestyle around this place.
Yeah. Well, I know like Tom has been there for like 12 years or something like that.
Right.
So I think it must just be like the rent is so cheap and like it just makes more sense to keep. But like it honestly, like there's no amount that you could pay me to live in that place.
Right.
Like it's just a no.
Unless they gutted it. And then you found it on the rental girl.
Remodeled the entire thing, posted it on the rental girl.
And then you ironically moved in to start your life.
It's like just it's a lol.
Yeah. So, okay. I have a lot of bones to pick with this particular scene.
Uh-huh.
Might I begin?
Yes. Please go ahead.
And by a lot, I mean just one. So, you know, when they're like talking about how they're like, they get into the very unnatural conversation that they obviously have to bring up of like, oh, we're going to move out. We're looking at houses. Right. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, remember how you told us that, Jeremy? And then they get into the thing of like, finally, we'll have some privacy. Actually, maybe this is later when they're in the house. But you know,
this is a little bit later.
All right, we'll get to it. Do you want to get there later?
No, go for it.
Okay, I'll get there now.
Because I had flagged that too as like a moment of grievance.
What the fuck was that scene where they had them do like bad improv of like, this is what it's like to live with your brother. And they're making out on the couch in full makeup.
Yeah.
Like just a camera. And they're like, where do you want to go? Like, they're like, the suggestion is like movement. And they're like, where do you left, right, center? And then Jeremy walks down. He's like, what's up, you guys? He's wearing like a bathing suit.
Yeah.
And
with
then,
like a semi.
Yeah. And then they're both like, oh. And then it like cuts back to Ariana and she's like, oh, that was awkward.
Like, and then Tom Zane was like, dude, I didn't even know you were home.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, how did you not know literally an entire camera crew is here right now?
So mad that they even gave us that.
Yeah, like that's rude.
We fucking get it without that fake ass improv.
We're not idiots. We're geniuses. Yes. We watch the show and we love it. Therefore, making us
pander
smarter than the average bear. I don't need this bullshit.
Yeah.
Troll.
So I just needed to air that out and know that you also felt that way.
No, I also felt that way. And what was really weird to me is that later on, like, so Tom and Ariana never get to hang out. And so mm-hmm. this is their night of like spending really meaningful romantic time mm-hmm. together.
With Jeremy.
And yeah, and Ariana and Billie Lee. And Ariana later refers to it as like they were on a date.
And so I was Tom. Like,
you guys were on a date in your apartment with your brother and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a date.
This is another one of the, I just
you
feel like
postmated something and chilled on the couch. That's like, that's not a date.
I'm so gaslit by this season because I feel like there's a lot of fuckery in like the reshoots or whatever. Like maybe they were on a date and it was a reshoot, or just, I mean, the more likely true explanation is that they do believe that is a date.
No, I think they believe that's a date.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
right.
I don't think I was like, what was it? Because when Ariana started to get mad at Tom, like he gets a text from Schwartz and it's like, Jax is at a hotel, like he just broke up with Brittany, we gotta go. And then Ariana gets so mad at him, I was like, why is she mad? They're literally just like chowing down on like Postmates.
Can
like
you imagine your partner getting mad at you for you having to leave nothing? Do you know what I mean? Like, I would be so annoyed if, like, me and Brandon were hanging out with, I don't know, his little sister and some rando. And, like, I was like, oh, man, I got a call from my mom. I got to go. And he was like, babe, what the fuck? Like, it's finally our time.
Weirdly, I have been in a relationship where someone got mad at me for doing that kind of stuff. And I'm glad to not be in that relationship anymore.
Right.
But, like, I was truly confused. And then I was also kind of living for Ariana being mean to Tom because that's just like such a mood. And like, I really want for Ariana and Tom to break up.
Yeah.
And I just want her to like become
be a lesbian.
A lesbian, but also just be like a bitch to everyone. Like when she rolled her eyes to Billy Lee, like when Tom leaves, there's like this eye roll moment, and I was like, this, give me more of this. Is that's what I need. Like, that's it. You found her, the character, Ariana.
Right.
Like, this is how we're going to be from here on out, please. Mm-hmm.
But she tries to be funny.
That's no more funny. Only bitch is it's how ridiculous. She needs to go.
Like she's the best when she is being honest, which to be honest with these people, you can only be a total bitch.
Cruel. Yeah.
And then she tries to do the like with pregnancy and the doing that whole bit.
Yeah.
It's like, shut the fuck up.
That doesn't
and
read.
Just murder your boyfriend.
Yeah. I want you to like murder him with a killer eye roll and with cutting words.
Yes.
And like just destroy him from the
which
inside
is all it
out.
Would take.
Yeah.
And I think also we're all a little bit titillated by like just a titch of a flashback to him and Kristen's relationship, because that was so fun to watch.
Ugh, God.
Like watching someone be mean to Tom like immediately sort of just like brings me back, and I'm like, oh yes,
I love
yes,
it.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Like what we're missing is
because Kristen
just
was literally
Kristen,
like
Tom.
Like Dom would like buy her flowers and take her out, and she'd be like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. Like,
he'd try and touch her and she'd be like, oh my God, no.
And then like, he would look at another woman and she would be like, I can't fucking believe you're doing this to me.
Yeah. And like, she made him cry all the time.
Constantly.
Yeah. I mean, let's
iconic.
Just pray that they get to this point. I need it. I need it. We need
it. Now that Kristen and Ariana are friends, also something I noticed in my like Coachella like post stalking was that Sandoval now follows Kristen on Instagram, has unblocked her at the very least, because he liked a photo on her Instagram. Nice. And I remember her saying as recently as weeks ago that she was still blocked.
Wow.
So moving further towards the matriarchy that we all want, I think now that all the women seem
aligned.
Sheena's out, which is fine.
Yeah. Because Sheena's a sacrificial lamb. Like, no amount of feminist, like, whatever will get them to a place of accepting Sheena.
Or me.
Yeah.
Or anyone.
Like, get anyone to a place of accepting
all
Sheena.
All sort of, like, feminist rule and
well,
theory.
Sheena's so not a feminist. That's what she said before.
She's a guy's girl.
She's a guy's girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sheena will never be in.
No, and I'm fine with that. And I would like the rest of the cast to live the lesbian truth. And if Sheena's there, fine. If she's not, fine. But if she gets in the way, I will kill her.
Yeah.
Just know that, Sheena.
Billy Lee, I guess, is dating Jeremy now, which is chill. And but I, she really. Also has moved into like their neighborhood. So she joins all the servers in living in the like 4-block radius that they all live from.
Do you
from
feel like
other?
You're watching a horror movie?
It's weird to me that they all live within walking distance from each other.
When someone is brought into the fray, I do feel like I'm like, girl, get out. Like, don't answer the phone or whatever. But I mean, that's they know. They get it. But I don't think they're like dating. I would be happy for her if they were. But also,
Well, they were having like a little hand-holdy like touch moment on the couch.
I think they fuck.
Yeah. So I just thought like things are intimate between them.
Great.
Billy Lee goes, I literally walked here.
Living
so
the
glad
dream.
We're neighbors. I literally walked here.
I love to be able to literally walk. That's what you and Ryan like say to each other every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ryan's like, oh my God, I literally just looked at Lara from my window.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Kristen is in the throes of recovering from a debilitating foot injury.
I still am am I too stoned when I watch the show that I don't really get what happened?
She stubbed her toe that somehow became like an ankle injury to which she can't walk or put pressure on that foot. And so I was wondering if this injury was going to extend into the next episode, like how long the foot injury arc would be. And I'm glad to see that it's like still going.
Hopefully we get it in the reunion.
Yeah.
It just comes back for zero reasons. We get
hopefully
X-ray.
We get it next episode too. So we get a finale of like Kristen on crutches again.
Yeah.
But like Kristen pulls out a pillow, sets her foot on the pillow, and then just settles in for a long night of drinking whiskey on the couch, which shocked me.
Was it shocking?
I just like
Have you watched the show?
No, I have, but it's like, I can't get over the alcohol of it all. Like, I know. I think it's just because now that I've entered my early 30s, it's like, I just can't, like, my skull is like contracting thinking of like drinking a whiskey and Coke right
also,
now.
Also, like, not to get too personal, not to get too real, but being on meds, like being on Wellbutrin for me, I think has exacerbated like my body's decay and inability to process alcohol. Or it was just always going to be like that and I'm blaming it on the Wellbutrin. But whatever's going on, like when I see, like I'm jumping ahead a little bit, when Jax had the Tito's and they always begin, I love the trolling editors because they've really got it down to a science at this point. But yeah, they'll always zero in on the alcohol.
Yeah.
And then, so it's like goes from being like establishing shot of three different LA locations that are 20 miles away from each other, EDM, and then right into a shot of whatever alcohol is being consumed and then right into the person of that scene.
Yeah.
And seeing that vodka, like I couldn't, no longer could I even like watch anything normally because I felt hungover looking at it.
Yeah. And I just don't understand how they can like process this much alcohol.
I honestly, like, there is no good answer besides alcoholism. But even then,
how?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Ow. Okay, so where are we at with like Kristen fucking James in Mexico?
I think everyone just doesn't care now.
No one like, cares anymore. Well, like, I'm like, after seeing this, I'm like literally just like a puppet on a string and this like show controls me. Cause like last week I was like, they definitely fucked. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. And the week before I was like, she didn't do it, guys. Like, listen to Kristen for once. And then now I'm back to being like, she didn't do it. Like, I believe her. And like,
I did die a bit listening to you go through that arc.
just a total flip flop.
You would not budge even a little bit, being like, it fucking happened.
No, it happened.
Like, and here's how it, like, you went full Jax.
No, and then now I'm like, I don't know.
I guess no one cares.
Yeah.
Because it, I mean, something happened. My thing is that that cushion thing felt like a gun on the mantle when she's like, Carter asks about the cushions.
Oh, yeah.
Almost inexplicably. You know, because mm-hmm. I know that's been something that's been brought up, but it doesn't seem like something he would actually care about.
And Sandoval told him about the, like, we got a flashback to Sandoval.
Yes.
And so then he's like, were you with James alone?
Well, he specifically was like, did you sit by that? What it was, a hot mini pool? What
it's called, a plunge pool, actually. The plunge pool.
Were you at the plunge with James? Were there cushions? She's like, absolutely not. No, the fuck not. And that's when I was like, okay, on the reunion, we're going to get some found footage of, like, at least they're sitting at that plunge.
I think that maybe they did fuck.
I mean, I think they did something. I don't know if it was, I mean,
penetrative sex.
Can we be honest, though, that James, when he says that he's fucked someone, like, we saw the episode where he downed an entire bottle of Fireball.
Yeah.
There's no way his dick was working after that. So, like, they probably, he maybe, like, shoehorned it. I don't
know. He's young still.
I don't know.
But also, it's like, when James fucks someone, he usually will be like, I fucked her.
Yeah.
Like, brag about it.
What, I don't know what the, I think he just doesn't want to admit that he would fuck Kristen again. Because I don't even think she's hot. I don't think she's sexy. I don't find her hot.
No sexy.
That killed me. I think that's the main thing. Like, I think anyone else, he would probably be like, did I cheat on Raquel? Yeah, a bit, mate.
Yeah. But it's like a really bad look for them to have fucked.
Yeah.
Like, and almost so bad that it's like, if I was dating either one of them and they came to me with this, like, revelation,
I'd be like, don't.
I'd be like, ooh, let's not talk about that. Like, it's fine, but just, like, don't do it again.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, okay, you're right.
Yeah, it's just so, it's such a portal of darkness. But I mean, the way she was, I replay that gif in my head every day of Kristen doing the
dancing
bounce split and
Kristen
looking into his eyes and James being like, oi!
Sexily out of straws. Did that split? I did not know her body was that limber or capable of that type of movement.
I'm telling you, a performer.
Yeah.
An icon.
A born performer.
Who needs to do Coachella?
Kristen. Fucking Kristen Doty. Carter terrifies me. Like, after last week's episode, I'm like, Carter's a serial killer.
Are you a little turned on, though?
No, I'm not turned on by Carter at all.
I'm pretty down.
You're down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems like...
You said earlier, you, like,
I
brought
feel like
up...
I could cheat on him and constantly give him head, and then it would be cool.
Yeah, he's
which is exactly what he said.
I need some TLC. And then she was like, you mean a blowjob, don't you? And then she, like, makes, like, a face. And then she, like, sexily sips her straw, like, confused but also sexy.
No, she's, like, lubing her mouth. She's like, gotta hydrate.
I just feel like Carter has imprisoned my queen.
I mean, yes.
And I need
by that
to
you
be
mean
free.
That she's not unwell anymore. Yes.
I mean that, but also I'm just like, I want, like... Carter's holding her back.
Yeah, from being unhappy and unstable. And I agree fully.
But, like, he holds too much of the strings. And I think that she needs to go. I think she needs to dump him and then go back into, like, crazy Kristen mode and then pull herself out of it by herself and not have to have a man to help her.
But Kristen doesn't dump people ever.
Yeah.
She cheats on them until they are into submission.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no.
She, like, reverse mothers them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fully. Like, she's everyone's, like, evil, abandoned, like, I will abandon you mom or stepmom or, like, whatever, what have you.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, mother in the sense of the Darren Aronofsky film where she's, like...
You were like, everyone will know what I mean.
No,
I
yeah. And I just take for granted the fact that I'm the only one that loved that movie and reference it on a continual basis.
Yeah, right.
But she's like the Javier Bardem.
Yes.
And every man she dates is like the J-Law.
Yeah.
And then she just destroys their lives.
Yes.
Until they're reduced to a little pile of, like, ashes, and she pulls their hearts out and then creates a new man.
I think what you want is for that process to be accelerated.
I would love for that to happen again.
Yeah.
ASAP.
Anyways,
Jax checks into the Moment Hotel, which I screamed. Do you know where that is? Okay, so
I just know the title is crazy.
I've truly been into the Moment Hotel from afar for almost like however long it's been around. Because I used to go, it's next to El Compadre. So it's it's on Sunset Boulevard. For those of you that live in LA, for those of you that don't, I'll also explain.
For the rest of the viewers.
For the rest of you sad sacks in your non-city cities. The Moment Hotel sits on Sunset Boulevard, but not like Sunset Strip. It's like more east where things start to get seedy. Uh-huh. And there's a really good Mexican restaurant called El Compadre. Right. And then right across the street, one block over, is the Moment Hotel, which used to be like just like a shitty motel that they like slapped some paint on and like redid it with this like orange color scheme.
I'm gonna need to literally go there tonight.
No, you're gonna need to go there.
Yeah.
And I would see it because I used to go to El Compadre a lot, and every time I see it, I would go with Ryan and we'd just be like, the Moment Hotel, like kill me. Like, and I'd always just troll and be like, I'm gonna get you a room at the Moment Hotel for your birthday. Like, I'm gonna throw your party.
I was gonna say that the Moment Hotel sounds like a thing that Ryan would call something as a troll.
Yeah.
But that's the real name.
No, it's like the Moment Hotel. Like, it's a true
there it is.
No for me dog.
Yes.
And so Jax, this is not the first time that he's been at the Moment. And like, when I originally saw the Moment, I think the Moment Hotel happened pre-Vanderpump Rules. And I was just like, barf, who the fuck would ever go to this hotel? Yeah. Like, what is this? Who is the clientele?
Wait, what do you mean he stayed there before? Does he say that?
He shot a scene there for Vanderpump Rules before. Remember that girl that he met and then he went to San Diego and like cheated on her and she was a bartender? They like I think she was a bartender at the Moment Hotel, or they met for drinks at the roof of the Moment Hotel, which literally is just a deck that overlooks the parking lot of the Moment Hotel.
So Jack's like,
it's like a Howard Johnson's that just got converted into this like jaggedy M Moment Hotel.
These revelations,
it scares me.
Are ruining me.
It is like truly one of the darkest places. Like that specific hotel in LA might be like one of the worst places you could possibly ever.
Yeah. So obviously Jax wants to live there.
Yeah. Like immediately moves in there following his like
he doesn't even need to think about
sex breakup.
Oh, also, okay, so if Jax is in a hotel and Brittany's in a hotel, what the fuck is going on with these dogs?
I don't know. I was wondering the same thing.
Either a huge plot hole or just abuse.
No, they just left the dog. I think they just leave the dogs there and then periodically go back.
Do you remember when Jax had that dog abuse accusation years ago? It was like on Twitter, like Kristen or someone was like, it was, what was the girl who like worked at the Chive? I want to say it was like Whitney or something.
Carmen.
Carmen. Carmen.
Carmen.
Carmen, Rachel No'Brien, and like some, all of those, that entire like crew, Christina Kelly, like everyone who's been on the show for a collective 20 minutes was, they were all accusing Jax of animal abuse on Twitter.
But,
I'm telling you guys,
but
wait,
of what
I'll
dog?
It was, I don't know, like Kristen, I remember Kristen like galvanizing it, being like, yes, he did that shit. Like I had to come save the dogs. Like I swear to God, because they were, I remember this was when like, maybe it wasn't this far back, but I just remember looking at like the pictures on Twitter and like having to click the link so the photo would come up. It was like then.
Okay.
And it was like just like this sad dog like looking up from a bathroom floor. And that was like the proof.
Okay.
That he had like, I guess the, I think
like locked
the accusation
in the bathroom?
Was that he would like leave for long periods of time and just like lock them in the bathroom,
Which
is a well-known hack.
Yeah.
Of being a dog owner.
A lot of dog owners I know do that.
Same. But yeah, it was a whole thing. So I just kept thinking of that. Like, where the fuck are these dogs when they're both, and why are both in a hotel?
Yeah. I don't understand the both being in a hotel.
The person who does the breaking up, who did like the shocking breakup, that's the person who goes to the hotel and then the other person stays at the apartment and then you text.
Yeah.
And it's then not well, complicated.
I think their thought pattern on the both being in a hotel is like, if neither of us are staying here, like, cause I feel like they would break up and then Jax would leave, but then he would know that Brittany's at the house. So he'd come back and like fuck her again.
Right. He's
and,
a murderer.
And like further
just
confuse
like
everything. So she's now like, okay, if I'm at a hotel and he doesn't know where I am, he can't come home. and fuck me again.
God.
So I think it's preventative. Jesus. But it's also like, just like fucking control yourselves. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
like,
not possible.
Make a decision and make a commitment to yourself that you're going to have a little more self-respect.
That's not
and,
on like, the table.
Yeah,
no,
it's done.
So everyone's, Jax is in the moment.
Jax is in the moment. He has like four bottles
living
of
in
liquor
the moment, literally.
In his terrifying hotel room. And like, then Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval come over and they bring more booze. And then I'm like, they have enough booze to like last them for 2 weeks. Like, unreal. And Jax is coked out of his mind and he's like talking. At this point, he's like so coked out that he's talking like a film executive. Like, he's talking like, he's like using like development terms. He's like, you know, when the job offer came in, and then like, they're like, so Lala's party is tomorrow. And he goes, guys, I'm going to pass on that. And, like, I was like, Jax is fully
Brittany and I were caught up in development hell and we just had to stop the project.
He's like, I'm going to need to close the loop on this breakup and just move on.
He's like, if we do circle back, I can't say that we are going to affirmatively, but if we do, I hope that it will go better.
Yeah. He's like, I have some notes, so maybe we can take those into account and move forward. Brittany goes over to Kristen's with her main gay, Zach, and
who's been on this series once in the first episode.
And was Zach? Where was he?
Zach was in the masquerade episode being like, he did it. Like, just standing in the shadows, like, and then, like, this episode basically serving the exact same purpose, which was to have one line.
Yeah.
And to be like, she's strong.
Yeah.
Like, she's handling it so well.
At first, I thought.
Does he even have an accent?
I don't know. He hasn't spoken enough for me to even, like, know what his voice sounds like. But when he first came into Kristen's, I literally thought Brittany was with Adam. I was like, she just went right out and got Adam and then came over to Kristen's house.
I live.
And then Kristen is, like, wasted. She's on like opioids.
Slurring.
No, she's slurring. She's like, I don't want to push you, anyone knew, but, and then she immediately brings up Adam, which is like, no, like, these people, like, you cannot just like go. I'm like, definitely maybe like fuck it out with someone if that's what you need to do, but like, to go fuck a person that works at the same restaurant where you and your ex-boyfriend were is like just not a wise decision.
Is this the moment at which Brittany has this like soliloquy about chickens? Do you know what I'm talking about?
That's later.
Okay, good. Because we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But yeah, she keeps on talking about, it's two different times in the episode that she talks about living on a farm and chickens.
Yeah. So, she's like a lot of farm references, which I appreciated. That like put a lot of things into perspective.
Yeah, I liked a lot of the like, I'm from the South and that's why I have to fuck the person in front of me, whoever that may be.
Kristen's like, I don't really like that. And then like pours Brittany like a full glass of bourbon and pours herself, like tops off her whiskey Coke, which is like, can you imagine relaxing at home on like weeknight with a whiskey and Coke?
Recently I like watched this interview with Taylor Swift, which was a mistake, but it was like the 73 questions. Mm-hmm. And like, that guy is a psycho probably.
Oh my God. That guy is the rapiest.
The worst.
Voice. He's like, always like, he is like molesting me with
it feels
his voice
like
every day.
Casting couch. Like, it feels like the casting it's couch porn, but they and, never fuck.
Yeah. It's like, it is like a porn where they're like, how old are you?
Yeah.
You've never done porn before, have you?
Exactly.
Like, what do you think?
Turn around.
Yeah.
Like,
you want to take your shirt off?
What inspires you?
Like, that guy.
That's fun. Like, whenever she says, or any of the women doing this say anything remotely funny, he's like, that's funny. And I'm like, he's gonna fucking kill someone.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was watching,
they're like,
and I were high
trying to get
that
out of the house.
Yeah.
He's like, you wanna kick me out now? And it's just like so
he's
bad.
Like, walk me to the door. Yeah, it's terrible. But we were watching that high and it just like called me back when Kristen was like topping off her like sad soda to when Taylor Swift answered. He's like, what kind of drink do you like? What's your go-to drink? And then she was like, she was like, Diet Coke and vodka.
Oh God.
Like, as if that's a drink that anyone has ever had, unless you're, that's the kind of drink you make when it's the end of a frat party and you're like, what is left?
Yeah.
Or you're like, you just got dumped and you've come outside from smoking a menthol and you're like, that's the first thing I see is this Diet Coke and this vodka. And so like, that'll do.
Yeah. Or you're in high school.
What the fuck? Like she orders that at bars.
Drinking for the first time ever. Exactly. And you're like, oh, this might be good. I like, yeah. Maybe I like both these
so
things.
So Kristen's at home.
Kristen's at home drinking. Doing that. No, but it's like not even like making a cocktail for herself. Like just straight up doing like a two ingredients, whiskey and Coke.
Yeah. So Kristen is drinking a desperation cocktail. Unnecessary.
She's drinking like a well bar drink.
Right.
And
in her home. Leg up.
Tom and Ariana go look at a tiny house that's like, I didn't know. I knew that their like real estate journey would be potentially dark because like these people have no taste. But to see like where the dark corners of the world to which their taste takes them is like, it never ends.
Where in LA was that? Do we know?
We don't know.
Because I was very unclear.
I mean, maybe it's in their price range, like speaking in terms of just knowing like prices in Los Angeles and then being aware of like what their budget potentially is. I cannot imagine they're trying to spend more than like a mil on a home.
Yeah. Like,
which is like at this point in impossible. LA, start that's like base, that's like cheap now if you can find a house for $1 million. Just which is buy, the sad like, reality.
Buy a lot of land.
Yeah. And then pitch a tent on there and camp on it.
You can buy a tiny house on Amazon.
Yeah.
I figured out. So if you just buy the lot.
Then you put the house on there.
You just plop the house on.
That's a good idea.
I mean, that's the only way these people are owning homes.
Even a lot of land here is like still like so expensive.
I mean,
it's I have a lot of questions. So I think maybe the Valley or like in like Culver City or something.
The finances of this show will never cease to amaze and perplex and terrify me.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
I'm really obsessed with Lori the Realtor though.
I love her being like, what do y'all do?
What do you do for a living?
Like, do you literally not see the camera crew?
They're doing their living in front of you right now.
And then we're again supposed to suspend our disbelief and accept that they're just bartenders.
Yeah.
Writing a book.
Yeah.
Owning a bar.
She goes, it's an open floor. It's an open floor concept. I was like, open in what sense? Like,
yeah, what does that mean?
You have to open your mind to be into this fucking house because it's tiny. It's like a railroad
apartment.
Did you
see the couch that they had in like the like starter furniture that was there to illustrate what you might be able to have? The couch they had was like half a love seat.
Yeah.
And it had
was
no...
the tiniest... Like, I kept waiting to, like, get a sense of the room and be like... I was like, no, it can't be, like, that small. And then it was just, like... It was, like, so tiny and narrow. And then she's like, and this is a... We staged this like an office, and there was like a school desk in a corner. And I was just like, this is the scariest house I've ever seen.
But then I had this.
The scarier thing is that it probably cost like $800,000
more.
Yeah.
Probably. But I had this very terrifying moment where they were in the bathroom, and like Ariana's like bowing down to like open the cabinet or something. And like Tom's like, oh, it's like voiceover of how amazing their life together is going to be. And I was looking in the back and I saw like the shower, and it was like an updated shower, you know? Mm-hmm. And like my Los Angeles, I was like, this place is fucking nice. Like, I was like, damn, I'm jealous. Like, gotta move in.
I was like really excited about all the countertops. I was like, God, those countertops, like this kitchen, I'm it's loving pristine. It. And then I would like get, I would remember the rest of the house was like 400 square feet and then was like triggered.
I would take it. If someone
bought it for me, I'd take it for sure.
Yeah.
But I'd be pissed that I was living in Culver City and I'd bitch about it all the time. Yeah. But like, I would take it.
I'm scared by how excited I was in that moment for them, for my own future in a tiny home. It's like that. Upgrade. Like, I was like, no, come back.
Yeah. But like, it's kind of a lateral upgrade.
Yeah. Get some Spanish tile.
Get some Spanish tile. And I'm also like, you... Like, Tom keeps being, like, my restaurant. Like, I'm opening my restaurant. This is my bar. And it's like, no, you own, like, 10% of this or maybe 5%. Like, the math is still TBD.
We need to get the details on this business deal.
Yeah. Like, no one knows what the business...
No idea. And also when he said, like, in the earlier scene when he was like, I might have to take some money from my parents, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like... How is this still possible? You know what I mean? Like, he's like literally 40. Like, I get it, but also, like, either, again, like, we're geniuses.
We're fucking geniuses.
But we cannot piece together the finances of the show.
I think maybe the show or the producers tell them to when you're on the show, you need to act like you don't have an income from this show.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what prompts them to say things like that.
Right.
I don't know. It's actually like incredibly insulting, and I would love an apology from someone.
Same.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're a producer of Vanderpump Rules, you can tweet me at Lars Marie. Yeah, which I know you. I know that you're listening.
We see you.
Yeah. Tweet me and please apologize for doing this. I want you to tweet me and apologize to actually all the genius viewers of the show that you are insulting on a now weekly basis.
We should get James to apologize on a cameo.
Yeah. Sheena apologize on behalf.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Sheena. I just wanted to say sorry on behalf of my cast members for not being honest about our being finances.
Thank you. Our income is our business, but we should not lie to people.
Even That's though Rob basically lied about his entire finances.
She's like, but Rob's rich and he owns a house. So, and he has a show and a production company. So don't ask about Rob anymore. Thanks. Bye.
And a place in Big Bear.
Lori's really nosy for a realtor, asking them like how many babies they want. And then she's like, well, a baby takes 10 months to make, so you'll be pregnant for that. And it's like, yeah, a baby takes 9 months.
Right. And you get that beautiful bit for Mariana.
Yeah.
That she's been preparing at the improv for 6 months.
Ugh, she's got to workshop that. Peter is setting up at Sir when Brittany comes in. And he's like, hey, how are you? And she goes, I'm fine. How are you? And he goes, you know, the usual. And I love that Peter's just finally settled into his role as, like, he's a manager. He's there to be a wait staff and manager of this restaurant. And we're not going to make any bones about it anymore. So, Peter, thank you for being real.
Whatever happened to his sci-fi film?
I feel like it didn't really go the places that he saw it going.
Yeah, I still need a cut.
It was like Avatar.
It's pretty. That's right.
That's what he was like. It was
Sexy
his
Avatar.
Yeah. His Avatar was like an 8 minute short.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm still desperate to see those sides.
Yeah. Then we cut to Stassi rifling through the cabinets. Sir.
Another one of these fake fucking setups.
But like, can we just discuss, like, what is happening with her ponytail?
Oh, yeah. Like, I literally made a note. I was like, Stassi's fucking hair.
What in God's name is happening with the ponytail? So, I've never seen a... It truly is a tail. It's tail-like.
This season was a lot of that. Like, Sheena had, like, the horse ponytail.
But even that fell almost naturally down her back, like, as hair is wont to
Stassi's
do.
Was...
Stassi's was, like, just a stick straight eye. It was, like, the sharpest ponytail I've ever seen.
It was a look. I mean...
It was, like, it would slap you in the face. It was just, like, boing! It was, propped up. It, like, had a wire in it. I'm, like, so unclear.
She had, like, a gold I Dream of Jeannie cuff around it.
Did the cuff cause it? Like, it... But
no,
it was
fake hair, right?
I think so.
It had to be.
Because I think you saw when her actual hair ended and then, like, the thin fake hair extended, but then it didn't flop down or lay naturally. It just stuck. It was so distracting. I was like, what is this?
Do you think she, like, put her extensions in the dryer or something? And then she got straw and she was like, yeah, well, it's a look.
Like, I don't understand. I think she watched like a YouTube beauty tutorial and then was like, nailed it, goals AF, and like walked out the door. But that tail haunts me to this day.
It's a real pout and not a pucker.
No.
You know? That's how I rate beauty.
Yeah. Stassi arrives and Zer, dressed like SJP in Sex and the City 2, like she's walking through the Moroccan desert in like a loosely fitting white outfit. And she's like pretending to steal the candles and like, oops, get caught. And then she and Lisa get to have like a back and forth about Stassi's relationship with Patrick. And it got to maybe the most like real moment of this entire season when Lisa's like, what's going on with Patrick? And Stassi goes, I don't know anymore. And then Lisa goes, what love is?
I blocked that out.
I
have no memory of
gasped.
That.
Yeah.
I have zero memory of
so
that.
So she's like, what do you want? Or what's going on? She's like, I don't even know anymore what love is. And I was like, wow, hit the nail on the goddamn head.
I love when Lisa fills in the blanks for them to make them seem deeper, smarter, sadder, faster, stronger than they are. Like, it's like, no, Stassi. Stassi's like, I will never know what love is. The fuck, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, no, I just don't know if he's going to marry me and give me babies.
He's going to start filling in the blanks for people.
Yeah.
In like really presumptuous ways.
Like, you're like, how are you? And I'm like, well, and you're like,
you don't know what love is.
Like, you're questioning everything in your purpose.
Lisa, when she enters too, and she holds up her dog and she goes, look who just got back from the gym, and like flings him around in that little
jumpsuit. I don't even have gym clothes. And when these scenes are happening, I'm just like, kill me, kill me, kill me. Fucking, I'm going to end it all because it makes me so mad. Like, I need the drama. I don't need these fucking filler. The, like,
filler moments.
Yes.
Yeah. I was living for like, look who just got back from the gym. Though. I like that little dog outfit.
It made me so mad. Get the dog out of... Where does the dog go? You know what I mean? Like, when they're doing the rest of these scenes.
The dog seemed dead. It was, like, went into stiff, like, full rigor mortis as she was, like, flinging it. She was like, oh, I love this look.
Isn't that one of your theories that, like, all her dogs are dead? Am I making that up?
That Jiggy might be dead and then stuffed because he doesn't really move. But I think this dog was Harrison. It didn't look like
fact
the Jigster.
You know.
Yeah. No. That's what they pay me to know these things. They step out into the dining area to feast on goat cheese balls and discover a sad, stopped up Brittany, just steaming glasses and folding silverware and napkins. And Brittany, they're shocked that Brittany's soldiering on despite the fact that Jax broke up with her for quote unquote no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I love that she
blindsided.
Thinks, yeah. She's like, and now he's embarrassing me even more by ending it for no reason. And it's like, there's actually like 20,000 reasons.
And no one has brought that up. And everyone is, I just want to take a moment to remind everyone that Brittany's 29.
Yeah.
Like,
all thought she was younger. She's not.
I went this entire season thinking she was like 24. And then I think it was on this beautiful pod last week that
when
I
we discovered. She's actually 29.
We, the detectives, uncovered the truth.
We took to the internet and typed in, how old is Brittany Cartwright? And the answer was 29 years old. So
she's shocked.
Too old for these shenanigans.
They're all treating her like an 18-year-old who got cheated on.
Yeah.
For the first time. And it's like, you've been cheated on 17 times. You definitely, he's given you chlamydia. You've taken care of the chlamydia unbeknownst to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not surprising.
Yeah, it needs to stop. So then Peter arrives and serves them some goat cheese balls, and then the circle has finally completed itself and we can end that scene. The Toms go to a store to try and pick out uniforms for Tom Sandoval's bar, and he's so excited to be opening his bar where people will be drinking his drinks and seeing his uniforms. And I'm like, you really don't understand like what your life is or like what you're doing or anything, but like, it's fine, I guess. And then they talk about Jax, and Tom Schwartz, it just is like a complete Jax apologist. Like, his right. like rationalization of the Jax and Brittany relationship dynamic was like a bone chiller for me.
Yeah, I mean, we had him at the beginning of the season saying, direct quote, I mean, if Jax did cheat, I would cover for him, but I don't think he did. And that's something that like a 30 I don't know how old Schwartz is, probably older than I think, but like 34 35,
he might be like 36.
He's like, here's something I should say out loud. Yeah, Kristen's 36. What? And limber.
No, she's not 36.
She I swear to god, or Sheena's 36 and Kristen's 35. I'm gonna
take to the
do
net.
Some detective take to the work net. Right now you keep taking us through, but yeah, I'm pretty positive the youngest one is James, which makes me think, like, I always thought James and Brittany were like the same age, but like Lala and James are the only ones that really have lives ahead of them.
Lala and James are the young, exciting ones,
right,
who deserve their own spinoff, quite honestly.
I know, I need them to get back together.
I need them to get together. Like, I root for them in such like a serious way. And when they had that little like confab at the end of the episode and they're like having the love fest, I was, my heart, Kristen is 35. That's like seeming like more,
I guess,
easy,
she's a fresh 35. Sheena's 32. Wait, what? I thought Sheena was 36. Mm-hmm. I guess I was just really high when I looked these up.
Yeah. 35 is like easier for me to deal with than 36. Stassi is planning Lala's performance at the Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And by event planning, it means like she literally puts flowers on a table and lights a candle. And
prints out some pics of some illustrations. Rorschachs.
It was like, yeah, it was like a weird blots? Rendering. Comic book-esque rendering of Lala's face that was then framed and then placed strategically around the outdoor area. And I will say, like, when it all was said and done, it looked pretty nice out there.
Yeah.
It was, like, fine.
I don't know that I've ever...
I've been there and I had a really bad night at the Phoenix one night.
I used to go on Tinder dates there before it closed and then reopened. Mm-hmm. Like, I had been there when they had Big Jenga in, like, 2014.
It's right next to Tocamadera.
Yeah.
And it's just like not really, it's like a fratty,
right,
like bar type of vibe.
So Stassi classed it up.
So she classed it up with some dark florals. Some
terrariums. I like stuttered as I was saying it,
some
because it was
votives.
So terrarium.
Lit some candles and called it a night. Lala's spray tan is truly wild. Mm-hmm. There's her a point arm. Where she brings her hand up by her face and it was just like a shocking difference. We get a flashback to James discovering Lala when he corners her at Sir and he's like, I can make you sound gorgeous. Ugh. And I was like, this is the origin story of my dreams.
I just like can't believe that now there's a rift. You know what I mean?
But I thought they made up.
They made up and then they didn't. Like there were tweets and he wasn't at her man's birthday party. So I think that was like the pretty clear rift. And also she like has gone on whatever podcast she went on where she talked about how like Jennifer Lawrence is a cunt. That was like the same where she was like, Raquel's a robot. I don't know. Is she stupid? I think she's just stupid. And that's just sort of like shit talking.
You cannot shit talk James's queen, Raquel.
No. She's going to be Miss America.
She's a beauty queen.
She's a beauty
My
queen.
My princess.
She's sexy. She's hot.
Lala's old face, too, we got a glimpse of in that flashback, which is so crazy that she looks so different. I guess I didn't clock how different it was. You never know until you get the flashbacks.
Yeah,
which there are plenty of old face flashbacks this episode.
I think she started too early.
I think she looks really hot now, but it's just like so... It was wild to see...
The beginning. The humble beginnings.
Yeah. Lala's man is not coming to the showcase and James is miffed at that.
Yeah. Well, James wants to take her to a steakhouse, but he can't.
Yeah.
He's got to stay with Raquel until he gets those mills and then he can pick Lala back
up. I really think that like if James does get famous and like rich, he and Lala will end up together.
I know. I mean, that's why like we need to come together, us as a community, to find James. Just the person who will put him on.
Why
we
don't
need to figure it out?
We all email Golden Voice and be like, please book this up and coming talented DJ rapper.
I'm gonna start talking to everyone I know who books like Los Globos.
Yeah,
and being like, all right, this
here
is
we
like,
go.
Like we're training an Olympian.
This is a grassroots movement. So yes. I think everyone needs to like tweet at Coachella or Golden Voice and then get James on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, justice for DJ, justice for white Kanye. Yeah.
I've seen what the Facebook group can do.
Yeah.
And if everyone would just come together.
When they galvanize, things happen.
Yeah.
James has no idea how the music industry works, I don't think, because he's like, all it takes is one person to see you and come up to you and offer you a record deal and then you're swimming in money, mate. And
bing,
it's like,
bang.
No. Like, I know that maybe used to be how it is, but I don't think that that's how it
goes. Well, that's another one of those like super dark remnants of his childhood. Because his dad was probably always like, I'm just waiting for that one person to come back and put... I'll get that star.
Yeah. And his dad probably told him that that's how it works over and over.
Because isn't his dad is like a talent, like that's his thing. And he's like a manager.
Yeah, he's like a manager slash hanger on.
Right.
But he shows up to the thing.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? It was not acknowledged like at all.
It was like he got like a little crayon that said like Andros, James's dad. But it then was, he like, didn't
so
really.
Quick.
Yeah, it was very quick. I think they realized that like we can't handle any sort of like up close camera time with Andros as an audience. So they like spared us.
Justice for Andros.
Justice for Andros. But then during Lala's performance, I was watching this with Ryan and Jonathan last night, and Ryan goes, "Oh my God, Lala's man is here." I was like, no.
The plot thickens.
That's James's dad.
I mean,
same though.
What if James is, oh my God, this is like a great spinoff idea, just brilliant shit. What if James's dad were to get rich again? And then Lala was like,
I know. I thought about that too. That would be, that would destroy James.
James would murder his father.
Yeah, yeah. James would go crazy.
Lala is his queen.
Lala is his queen. Brittany shows up and her outfit, where does she get these outfits that's just like fabric loosely stitched together with like whimsical ties and like cleavage bearing?
She's like, you know how Shia LaBeouf is into like streetwear?
Yeah.
And isn't that like not like normcore streetwear? Yeah. I'm not saying it right. She's the Shia LaBeouf of that. Like it's Britney 2018 fit watch. And it's always like just a, like a robe, but with everything cut out of the robe.
It's a, yeah, it's a robe or a nightgown.
Right.
That showcases her tits in a way that's pornographic.
Yes.
And
almost maternal.
Yeah.
It feels like they always feel like outfits where if you needed to just like slip the fabric to the side to like suck on a titty, that's
very
what they're built for.
Easy breastfeeding access.
Do you think maybe she's sending that messaging?
Maybe. Like, I'm ready. Like, that is, and I'm all like, I'm 100% like flaunt your bod, like dress truly however you want to dress. But there's so many other ways that she could dress that would enhance her boobs and also make her look good, that I just don't understand this style that
she's
goes
really
for
like
constantly.
She's really gotten ground on Katie in that way, because Katie's style is fucking atrocious, and I haven't even thought about it in weeks, because every week Britney shows up like
in a dress
robe. I think this was said on the podcast
out,
or I dreamed it, that she's just like, she looks like a ghost.
Yeah
like she looks like she was like a murdered colonial mistress.
That was her reunion outfit last season,
and it hasn't stopped,
and this is another iteration of that style of dress. And there's no support for the boobs. So they're down. They're just like, it truly, she might as well just be topless, because it's like they're out. And like when Adam and her hug, they break away and he looks directly at her and like just watches her boobs like walk away. And I'm like,
working.
I'm also like, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
And I don't love like the whole, like, I'm just going to use Adam. Like, he's like a pawn.
Are you like, Are you
like justice for Adam?
What's going on at this point?
I just don't like the way that Britney is trying to use him to like clearly
make. He has
said
seven words.
Yeah, but I know.
And you're like, he deserves better.
He deserves better than this life.
He's like, you're Britney. He's like, you're like, Adam has made us all better. He's come into this show and changed us.
We love Adam. He makes Nuna be a better person.
He makes me want to be better. Adam taught me it was okay to be weird.
Yeah, and Adam's really getting the shit end of the stick.
I guess. He doesn't really have to do anything, and he's on
the
show.
Yeah, he's just like he's a big, like, dumb animal. He like smiles and laughs, and Brittany's like, oh, bless his heart.
He calls Jack sir, stares at Brittany's tits, and collects
$50.
Yeah, in the last episode, maybe it wasn't sir. It was something that was like a salutation. Like, he was like, look, mister. Like, I don't know what it was, but it was like very respectful, and Jack's like, treated him as if he was like coming over to date his daughter.
Yeah,
like it was so interesting, because Jack was like, well, you can fuck my girlfriend, but just like, it bothers me that Chyna wants you to. Like, look, I want my girlfriend to fuck other people, okay?
He's like, Mr. Taylor, nice to meet you.
He's like, can I have your blessing?
Lala arrives with her squad. I love Lala Squad.
Oh my god. There's Black Elvis
is a star.
Who looks hot.
Yeah.
His hair looks like a Whoville situation.
It's a pigtail Whoville. Like, yeah. Two little devil pigtails.
I love
but
it.
But it's working.
I love it. The squad shot was such a troll.
It was a real troll to the squad.
Like, you know that, like, she's been in the studio with those people like 7 times.
Yeah.
I think
she's paying them to show up at the showcase.
And but they're like, Lala's ride or dies.
Yeah. And like people that she's not so familiar with, but they're familiar enough to like cash the check.
That was the same crew. What did she say when she came into the studio last time? And she was like, what up, homeboys? Like, what was the thing that she said that was like so insane? What up, brother? Yeah. I think it was brother.
Oh, yeah. Probably something like that.
Yeah. So Lala's squad pulls the fuck up to the function.
They pull the fuck up to the function and then just like start to just hype Lala. And like Black Elvis does a really good job of just like getting the crowd like worked up like for Lala's entrance to the stage.
They don't call him Black Elvis
for nothing. Yeah. And Lala performs. And what's weird about her performance is that we don't get to see much of it.
I know.
Like, with a lot of audience reactions and not a lot of Lala performance.
Yeah.
And I think that there was, like, a sound issue because...
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think just in the taping, like, they I think that they, like, couldn't get good sound of her singing
because
there was clearly, like, a vocal track
right.
in the show that was, like, tying everything together. And so, I mean, that's
You've
my theory.
The case.
And so you're all welcome for that.
The viewers are shocked.
Lala sounds like Rihanna, and she kind of moves like she's like a Rihanna.
This probably would be the right time to publicly reveal what I confessed to you once, which is that my Spotify like top 100 of the year, and I use Spotify a lot. My like number 4 was Boy featuring DJ Duffy.
Let me know if I can fuck with you, boy.
I don't know how it happened, but like I'm not denying
You're fucking
it.
With
I'm airing
that song
it out
heavily.
Something happened. Like I feel like it's impossible that I voluntarily listened to it that many times. But then, what is impossible in this world?
You know what? You love it,
yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, boy, whoever Duffy is. A little offended that it's not James Kennedy.
I know, that's gotta
also
sting.
There's no one, I guess he just like produced it. I don't know, I'm very confused about her music. She came out with this like emo song recently. Has anyone listened
Ooh,
to it?
I haven't listened to that.
Sort of about being cheated on, but then like it isn't as well, and it's just like her being like, I need you to love me.
I mean, I've been a feeling you head since literally the moment that they conceptualized that song. And I'm just happy to see that like Lala's getting out there in the world. Like, I truly believe, and I've said this forever and will continue to say this until it comes true, Lala is a star.
Yeah.
And she does have, like, whatever it is to be, like, doing whatever she's doing and be successful at it. Which is, like, a variety of things. Like, in the world of, like, fame, celebrity, whatever, it's, like, whatever she's doing is similar to, like, a Kardashian thing.
Yeah.
And, like, she can do that.
Well, she played the slut walk.
Yeah.
I was there, but I didn't see the performance. So that will always haunt me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like...
And she played she's Pride, out there. I think. Like, she's...
Yeah.
It's all happening for Lala and not Sheena, who's jealous and is, like, feeling inspired to get back in the studio.
What the fuck was she talking about, like, with the... She was like, we've already done the Good as Gold remix. And I was like,
no, she's like,
can
you freak bitch remix?
Yeah, but like she said, there's already a Good as Gold remix.
There might be one. Yeah.
What?
I mean, like, we need to look into that for sure.
Another.
James Kennedy probably did the remix, or Mike Shay did the remix.
Oh my God. It's Mike Shay is an underrated. You love Mike Shay's music. If we could just.
I do. I'm like a big fan of. I was just a big fan of Shay F. Kennedy, his collaboration with DJ James Kennedy. And I thought that had legs. But then we all know what happened to Mike Shay.
I didn't even know about that. I was only stanning his breakup song.
His breakup song was a sick burn.
Yeah, it was great.
It's insane to me how, like, far we've come from Sheena's performance to Lala's showcase.
Well, Stassi illustrated that. They yeah. did a troll editing, like, greatness.
That was truly insane.
Yeah.
But, like, even before they showed that, I was just thinking in my head, I was like, God, like, this is such, like, a glow up from that period of their
It's very
lives.
Dark because Sheena has just become like the cautionary tale for every woman on the show. Like, she's for Lala, she's like, try your career, and then for Brittany, she's like, you don't want to end up like me,
mm-hmm.
alone and desperate.
Yeah,
it's she's just like a big warning.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, sucks to be Sheena. Everyone also is friends with Lala now, which to me is extremely sus. Like, I don't trust any of the other female castmates' friendship with Lala.
No.
Aside from maybe Ariana, who's like been kind of a Lala stan from the beginning. But like, she, like Lala gets off stage and is like welcomed into the group, like sitting in the middle, like the queen of life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, all these people want something from you. Like,
yeah.
They would not be your friend if you were not dating some like rich movie producer guy. Mm-hmm. Flying them on private jets to like Vegas or wherever the fuck and like killing it at a showcase.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like kind of the tragic romance of her and James really is that like James is like sort of the only one who sees Lala as she is and has always been like, you've always been great.
You know?
And then like now everyone's like, so fuck you, James. Special. Like, we're here for Lala. And I'm watching this unfold on social media and I'm just not having it.
Yeah.
Because James has been there since day one. I think that's where his anger comes from.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're not your friends.
They aren't. Like, they truly aren't. Like, the way that they function, like, socially and, like, the inner workings of, like, their relationships with each other and with the world around them is, like, who can I befriend that will benefit me in some way, shape, or form? Right. And this is like a prime example of that. Like, if you have nothing to offer, or if you can't, or if you do, but you won't give it to them, you're an enemy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was why they hated her so much originally.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I'm going on the jet.
But now she's like clearly established herself as a force to be reckoned with, and they know that it's better to be with her than against her.
I mean, if there's a Cardi B on the show, it's either like, it would be like Stassi's podcast or whatever Lala is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one else really has a fighting chance in doing anything else of substance. I mean, I guess like Tom-Tom, but that's it.
Tom-Tom, but that still like exists within the world of like Vanderpump rules. So it's like I don't consider it like a departure.
Right.
Or an achievement.
Yeah, like Stassi's podcast, honestly, like, respect.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even though like she voices her anti-Semitic.
She established herself as, like, a white nationalist.
Yeah, but, like, props. You know what I mean? Like,
really good for you.
She has a point of view.
Yeah. She's killing it.
Feminism.
She's getting those downloads, honey.
Yeah.
Fucking in the top-ranked podcast.
Drag me.
But yeah, like, it's her and Lala.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that Lala prevails, obviously, because there's that like semblance of wokeness, feminism, whatever. But then, I mean, there's also
she's
Lala's
more
squad.
Entertaining. Yeah. And her squad and like her whole life is just like more fascinating to me than just like Stassi pissing and moaning about whatever.
And word on the street is that she's a good actress.
Lala?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. She's an incredible actress. I watched her movie.
I'm a source.
Pitching Love and Catching Faith.
Yeah.
Everyone can see it on Amazon Prime for free, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Or maybe rent it. I think it's for free on Amazon. If you have a Prime membership, I highly recommend you go see this movie. It is true Christian, maybe Mormon propaganda in the best possible way. And Lauren Kent shines.
Mm.
And she actually is so good that she elevates the entire movie from being a flaming pile of dog shit to just like dog shit.
Yeah. Who was someone recently? Maybe it was someone in the Facebook group, but I heard from someone that she auditioned for this movie. And they wanted to cast her, but like they couldn't because they were like, oh, she's like a reality star or whatever. But
what
she was
movie?
Like the best.
Silver Linings Playbook.
I don't know. Yeah. Mother. It was Mother. Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Lala was robbed.
This might be a dream I had.
Tom and Tom are like, what's Jax up to? And so they FaceTime him and then he's like, I'm sleeping. And it's just like, we know he's on depression sleep.
Right.
been there. And then he says that he's feeling worse since the breakup, which is like, duh.
Right.
That's how breakups work.
He has no idea how that works.
No, he's like, what? I thought I would feel better and I feel like shit. Like, I hate this. This is hard and really sad. Like, what the fuck? And like, it's like, yeah, that's a breakup.
Right.
You literally want to die for like weeks and then one day you don't, you want to die a little less.
Well, Jax has only ever been able to deal with him cheating on someone and then trying to earn them back. It's, he's never been able to actually have a breakup.
He's never like cut a tie and then like felt like lived through the feeling of that.
True. And of course he won't.
Yeah. James and Lala sit down and they have like a beautiful moment and I just love their love.
Yeah.
And they're both so happy and they hug and I yearn for those simpler times.
I'm completely heartbroken by the entire situation. Like, I feel like they're both being like held back by these, like imprisoned.
Yeah.
Basically free everyone.
I think that Lala is making like the career move that she's made is smart, but like, I don't see Randall being like her one true love, like the person that she's gonna like grow old with. Like, I think he's like a stepping stone to even like a better level.
Yeah.
I would love for Lala to date like a celebrity. Same. But then I would love for her and James to end up together around like 32 years old.
I know, but like, I feel like that's the darkness, is that like James needs Lala to keep going. She's his muse.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's not there, like, he's not going to get to the level of being able to get Lala, and we're always going to live in this turmoil, and that's why they need a spinoff.
Yeah. We really need a spinoff. Jax is in therapy with Lindsay, who's his backup since Kelsey the Reiki master is away.
As, you know, we all have...
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do.
A therapist on a retainer for when our other therapist is away doing reality show appearances in various other states.
Also, like, the setting of this therapy is very sus to me. It's in like a literally like a 100 square foot room.
Mm-hmm.
And Jax is just speaking in monologue and like just repeating himself. He seems to be in like a post-coke, like come down haze. It reads as though he's like barged into her office at 6:30 in the morning and just started talking and they've never met before. And she's like looking at him like, who is this coked out guy that came into my...
These people have never met.
And she's just kind of staring at him and scowling and then saying like, just, she's like, that sounds hard. Breakups are really hard. Breakups are awful. And like, and then he just keeps like putting his head in his hand and turning red.
Are you happy?
Yeah. Brittany, Ariana, and Sheena go to Jax and Brittany's apartment so she can change out of her pajamas into new pajamas.
Right. One camisole to another camisole.
And then Brittany's like, next time I'm in a relationship, I'm going to rule the roost. And then explains what that means, as though we didn't, the geniuses of the show did not know.
But there's also a moment earlier in the episode, maybe, or maybe it's, because it's not at the end. There's a point at which, and I like saved these screenshots because I love them so much, where she's like, I grew up on a farm. And look, what happens is you have chickens. And then if you go a week without feeding the chickens, you'll have 20 dead chickens. What the fuck?
I was like, a week? I thought you were going to say, what happens in a day?
I mean, like, what was that? I don't even know how that
happened. I got that analogy because it's just, to me, actually, I was like, oh my God, yeah, life is like a farm because, like, you have to take care, bear with me here, you have to take care of yourself and your life, and if you just give up on yourself, you're going to have 20 dead chickens. I was like, wow, this is, like, incredible.
I don't think we needed that
I thought about that analogy legit 5 times since seeing that episode last night. And then through this talk, I was like, God, that was like really, it spoke to me on like a really deep level.
Yeah. It's a good tattoo.
Laugh is like a farm. If you do not feed the chickens in 7 days, you'll have 20 dead chickens.
Sheena has that on her forearm. The chickens are dying.
Like on her breastplate.
Yeah. Yeah. That's next.
Jax has been texting Brittany, but she doesn't care. And she's like, thanks for the boob job, asshole. Which is like,
which is so a really fucking good dark
line. But also we know that none of this means anything because they're together and like possibly married. Who knows?
Yeah. She's had a child in secret.
Yeah. Jax is confused and now he's doubting his decision to break up with Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week is the fucking finale.
I'm so pissed off about the timing of this finale. I feel like we're on episode 12.
Yeah.
I think because we've just had so many, like, no one cares. Just this conversation has given me jaw pain. Like, yeah. Thinking about all the different things that will go unsatisfied.
There's no resolution. Like, I love that this season was leading up to not... I thought, like, TomTom's going to be open by the end of the season. Yeah, no. They're doing a progress party where it's like... I feel like we're on a cliffhanger or something. But there's nothing hanging off the cliff. It's just, like, my sanity.
Yeah, and, like, someone looked it up and it was like, I'm so pissed off at the cast because they kept... they let me down. They kept saying in interviews, like, oh, this is such a long season. Like, you just wait. The truth will be revealed. But it's 24 episodes. And last season was 24 episodes. And so, fuck you guys.
Yeah, and so...
this is, like, 19.
Like, next week... Patrick comes back and is like a dick to Lisa and says like a bunch of creepy shit.
He's like, I want to fuck you.
He's like, I'll fuck that hole.
And she's like, you don't know what love is.
She's like, Saucy really doesn't know what love is. And then Jax gets fired and then there's a progress party and that's it. And I guess we'll just have three episodes of reunions or two episodes of reunion and one of like lost footage. But like, I'm irritated.
Yeah, if there's not a footage of like James just like licking Kristen's tits on some pool wraps or pillows or whatever the fuck, I'm going to be pissed. And I know I'm not going to get that. And I'm livid. I'm just hoping for like some reveals, like a reunion.
It's also bullshit that if we're going to leave this season with Jax and Brittany breaking up, then we're going to like go into the reunions with them back together.
Right.
And you're not even filming during the good parts where it's like,
yeah,
they're breaking up, getting back together, breaking up and like all that drama. It's just like, oh no, I guess it's like totally fine and everything's chill.
Yeah, they're just going to explain
it. And it's like, whatever.
I mean,
that's how reality shows get eventually once the people get so big is that like they tease out stuff that happens and then it doesn't. But part of the magic about Vanderpump Rules is whatever they teased out did happen and you got like the full circle moment of like confirmation.
And we're just not getting, I just feel like so much has gone on this season and I've never felt so like, oh, I don't care what happens on the finale.
Yeah.
Like it's I really just cares. Because I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Kristen and Carter are together. Brittany and Jax are together. Tom and Ariana are together. Katie and Tom are married. Tom will open. Like,
Stassi and Patrick are breaking up.
Yeah. And also, like, yeah, there was a teaser. I hate my life. There was, like, a shot in, like, the initial, like, what will go on this season where Stassi's crying in a stairwell.
Yeah, where the fuck is that?
Excuse me?
We never got that. If that does not happen next week.
Like, she was wearing,
I
want to say, like...
espadrilles.
Like, a mule. Yeah, like, yeah. I remember that,
and it was, like, an off-the-shoulder top, as she's wont to do.
Yes, and she's, like, breaking the fuck down in a stairwell, and that was evocative of the alleyway. We've barely gotten the alleyway.
Alley is gone. The alley is no more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've all surpassed the alley.
It's depressing. Like, I'm really like...
No, it is depressing.
This finale better bring something to the table.
Bring the heat, or the reunions better bring some fucking heat. Or I'm going to demand another apology from the producers.
Everyone seems so fucking, like, hunky-dory right now in real life that I'm just like... Like, Jax even has been tweeting, like, level-headed things, being like, well, James did call my girlfriend fat, but I get it. Sometimes he freaks out. Like, I'm like, excuse me?
I'm like, give it time. They'll implode again.
Yeah, but like, I don't want to wait until next season for an implosion. Like, I want to think that at least something will happen on this finale. But
yeah.
It will not.
Yeah.
I feel like where we're left. Do you think anything good could possibly happen?
No.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. We're done now.
Bye.
Thanks for being my guest.
It was great.
It was fab.
Very positive.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
I got my Twitter account back. We don't need to talk about what happened. It's Chrissy Milazzo. I'm in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Under a secret identity. That is just my name backwards.
Love.
And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Sick.
Where else can I be found? The truth will be revealed.
The truth will be revealed.
You know? I'll launch a makeup line soon.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. This episode of the Sexy Unique podcast is brought to you by the following premium sponsor, Lori Wheat.
Thanks to you, honey. It's all happening.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know I know I'm feeling, cause I know I know.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.